We can still hear Rally the Valley echoing all throughout Phoenix after last night's Game 2 win. Really a trouncing over the Denver Nuggets. Welcome into the Brad Sesmat Show. I'm Jordan Spurgeon.
And I'm Claudia Faust.
We're definitely not the big guy, Brad Sesmat. He's out
on
his anniversary this time.
Yes, he's celebrating his 32nd wedding anniversary. So we just want to congratulate Chris for putting up with Brad for so long. We don't know how you did it. We're just kidding.
It's a lot. Brad's great. You're great. Congratulations to you too. We got a lot of sports to talk about today, including the Suns. We talked about here in the opening, the trouncing last night against the Denver Nuggets. The atmosphere was crazy. Kids are taking off their shirts on the Jumbotron. You've got the Suns gorilla dancing all over tables. So we'll catch up with someone who was there last night, 12 News, 12 Sports, Kirsten Soussel, to talk a little bit about the ins and outs of this team and, of course, just all the excitement around the Valley, around the Phoenix Suns.
And excitement in the Valley extends to the Phoenix Suns. If you've never been out to a game, it's honestly wild. It doesn't even need to be dollar beer night for the crowd to just be insane, although dollar beer night does add like another level of excitement. But we're going to catch up later with the general manager, Bobby Dooley, who's just so great to chat with. And yeah, it's a lot of fun going on in the Valley right now.
Yeah, Phoenix Rising, Phoenix Suns, all coming up later in the show. Opening comments, take it away, Claudia.
Yes, opening comments are by Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you and taking care of your business. I actually met Jeff Mishi, the president and CEO, about a week and a half ago out at a Mercury game. They just do so much for the community. That night at the Mercury game, they actually gave a four-year scholarship to a 12-year-old engineering student at Arizona State University. Crazy. She wants to work for NASA one day. She's 12 and she's in school. I was like barely getting through like pre-algebra or geometry when I was 12 years old. Yeah. So it's incredible. But yeah, all by Desert Financial Credit Union, which is just awesome. I love to see the community atmosphere. We'll just keep going with atmosphere.
Yeah, they're some of the best in the game. So, okay, we'll break it down for you. We've got some thoughts on the Phoenix Suns. So they basically, even though it was six games, the series against the Lakers was handled pretty easily. Now they've won four straight games by double digits. And I know we've been able to watch the games on TV. To me, when I watch, Claudia, the crowd is the most fun part. Last night, fourth quarter, they're just pulling away and all the bench guys are in. And the crowd got louder and louder. I mean, this is remarkable what we're seeing right now.
I almost have to say, like, I really wish I was at one of these games to experience it because, on the other hand, it's almost boring on TV. I hate saying that. But, I mean, they're just blowing through every team, it feels like. And I hate saying that I want to see more competition because obviously it's fun working in this market and seeing the Suns do so well, but the crowd is absolutely awesome. I honestly think I hear the bar down the street like going crazy and I'm like, oh yeah, it's because the Suns are playing, of course. So there's just a whole lot of fun surrounding the Suns right now. And I don't know about you, but I think they're going to take this pretty dang far.
Yeah, now they're only 10 games away from the finals. I mean, coming into the season, none of us would have expected this. And I'm still cautiously optimistic. I know a lot of you out here that are Valley fans, you've witnessed the heartbreak numerous times around this Phoenix Suns team. It's a Phoenix Suns town, but I really think they're on the edge of taking care of business. They go to Denver tomorrow night. That'll be a real test against Nikola Jokic and the MVP. But this team right now, they're fun. I like what we're seeing and what they're doing. Chris Paul last night, just having a remarkable game. 15 assists, 0 turnovers for the third time in his career in the playoffs. Only player to do so. That comes after being slighted. A lot of writers left him out of the top five of MVP voting. I came on the show with Brad earlier this year, Claudia, at the end of the year, and said I would vote for Chris Paul as MVP. Not because we're here in the Valley, but what he did to transform this team. He came into the season, you think, okay, maybe they're an 8 or 7 seed. Oh, they have the second best record in the NBA. And he felt a little slighted by that and, you know, against the MVP's team, took it to them last night.
What's crazy is his comeback from all these injuries. Every time, I hate saying it, but he's like that comeback kid because he's come back, you know, come out of games, gone to the locker room, come back, taken the hardwood again. And it's just, that is the Suns this season. It's just not giving up and just overperforming, which we will never complain about. And I've also loved that like the whole world now knows Devin Booker. And I think you see that all over Twitter. Everyone's like, the whole world discovering Devin Booker. Yeah, he's been here all along. But it's really incredible how much he's done at such a young age. And he's almost become the face of the franchise, truthfully. I mean, he is. That's what it looks like. So it's been fun to watch him too.
Yeah, Devin Booker's been phenomenal. We wrote a column on the website I did literally while I was sitting in traffic in California in the car about why Devin Booker's a superstar.
Is that texting and driving?
It was literally standstill. Like, standstill.
Okay, sounds like California.
Didn't move an inch. I was literally driving from Phoenix to Oceanside in California to go home for the weekend to cover a women's football game out there. And I was 3 miles away from home.
Oh, man.
And all of a sudden, I look up, and it's just lights for miles. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm going
to
be stuck.
So is that why everybody's moving from California to Arizona? Or are they just wanting to be Suns fans?
I think the Suns fans are a little bit, traffic a little bit, but yeah, that's the excitement. So the Suns are really the storyline. Like I said, later in the show, we're catching up with Kirsten Soussel from 12 Sports to talk a little bit about the atmosphere. Now, I know you've been out to some Phoenix Rising games.
Yes, mentioned that earlier.
And what's that been like? I know they're at full capacity, so what do the people need to know about going out to Phoenix Rising?
So if you don't know, they're actually at a new location. So they used to be near the Arizona Casino, but now they're at the Gila River Indian Community, or at Wild Horse Pass. And it's a really fun atmosphere out there. It's a lot more spacious, but it's still got that same old tradition and feel of the old stadium. So there's still the food trucks and stuff outside. Same good old soccer team. They play really well. They're 4-1-1, actually, this last game. We'll get into it later with the general manager, Bobby Dooley. But in this last game, they were down 0-2. And then they had 8 minutes of stoppage time and scored 2 goals in those 8 minutes to tie the game. So if you don't know the Rising, now you do. They are always coming after that W. It's a really fun atmosphere. They brought in, they actually broke the record for attendance in club history this past week. They opened to full capacity, which at the new stadium allows 10,000 fans. They brought in 8,056. Obviously that number is going to go up as people start realizing, hey, sporting events are back, full capacity is back, and we can go and cheer on some fan a really good team. And I actually have friends that became fans of Rising last week. I was at the game and I noticed some of them were in the stands, and I went out with them later on in the week, and they were like, yeah, we're looking at buying season tickets. And so obviously the atmosphere is just awesome out there.
Yeah, they're exciting. I like to see the Phoenix Rising really growing. You know, Phoenix has so much going on, really, Arizona sports-wise. It's just nonstop. Brad talks about it all the time on the show. We really are the busiest sports market that no one knows about, Phoenix Rising included.
We have Brad Cessnett here.
Brad Cessnett right here. We're filling in. Maybe combined, we're the same height as Brad. I don't know. For those that
probably
know Brad,
not. I'm only 5 feet tall. Yeah. I don't add much here.
Yeah. So yeah, that's almost it. I mean, last kind of thing. What else are you seeing in the Valley that's sticking out to you around the sports going on right now, besides, you know, Suns and Rising?
Well, obviously you were out yesterday at Cardinals, so you got to see a little bit of, did you see J.J. Watt yesterday? I know you said he was out golfing, but you get a little look at him.
Yeah, J.J. Watt was there, and I'm not here to bring the hype train up on the Cardinals. There's a lot they need to work on this offseason, but J.J. Watt, like, at practice, he not only is vocal, like, there was a point in drills where a couple rookies messed up on the defensive line, and he was, like, almost yelling at them, get back, do it again, with the coaching staff. So J.J. Watt brings that. But then at the same time during drills, he was curious and asking questions of his coaches. We were able to be just close enough for the 20 minutes we could film to watch that. And so really seeing J.J. Watt up close and personal and seeing, like, what he's like in practice, I now know why he's been so good throughout his career. He's been hit with the injury bug. He's a little bit older. We'll see what his production is like. But the leadership he brings right now is something I'm looking forward to, and you should keep an eye on with J.J. Watt.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I won't forget, though, when I moved here to start this job, the whole talk was, is Larry Fitzgerald staying? And we still don't know. Yeah. I don't know what your thought process is. Is he waiting until, like, camp starts? Or what's your guess? Do you have any predictions when that decision's going to be made?
No one knows but Larry. We've all been waiting. I've had numerous talks that we're all like, oh, maybe today's the day. No, we've all given up.
I've given up, yeah. Yeah. Like, one day I will get the news and it'll be broken for everyone. I don't think we have any insight whatsoever. And I think it's the right call. You know, the team's got to move forward and focus on what they can do to get better, because they obviously do have a lot of work to do. I would like to see him play one more year, because I think they have a lot of potential.
Cardinals have a lot of potential. Suns have a lot of potential. That wraps this segment up. So up next, we've got Kirsten Soussel, 12 News, 12 Sports, and Bobby Dooley, the general manager of the Phoenix Rising. That comes up next. We'll be back after this quick timeout. Today is Suns, 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 and more Suns. Welcome back to the Brad Cessnett Show. I'm Jordan Spurgeon, filling in alongside Claudia Faust. The big man's got his anniversary today, so we're filling in for him. But as promised, we welcome in Kirsten Soussel from 12 News, 12 Sports. So, Kirsten, Suns Nuggets playoffs. Did you ever think the Suns would be 10 games away from the NBA Finals when you came out to Phoenix a couple years ago?
No, I didn't even think that at the beginning of this year. even with the additions of Chris Paul and then the way that they were talking about things, and we knew the impact that Monty was going to make on the culture. I didn't think it was going to happen this fast. I thought they were going to make the playoffs, but I just did not think that they were going to be this good this early. And I think the team was even surprised a little bit, like, this is our first year together with everybody, right? Right now, with the way that they're playing, they could very well make it to the finals.
I mean, it seems like it's bananas. You were there last night. I saw a video posted. You got, you know, the Suns gorilla dancing on the tables and stuff like that. I mean, just being there and covering the games, what's the atmosphere been like for those watching that haven't been able to make it out yet?
Okay. There is one other atmosphere that I can think of covering a sporting event that could be comparable to it. And that was covering the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup Finals. And it was insane in Nashville. Like, Nashville is just an insane place. Aside from that, I have never experienced anything like what those Suns games are like. And we keep talking about the crowd, and then we're somehow shocked that it gets even crazier and louder and more raucous with every game. So last night was like the pinnacle of what we've seen from the crowd so far. There was this young man who went viral for taking his shirt off on the Jumbotron, and the mascots standing on top of a bar, waving a flag. You've got the wave going around the bowl. The games are insane, and it's so insane that I have to sit back and say, okay, I'm witnessing something special here. Like, this is pretty cool.
So they're up 2-0 now. We'll get back to the atmosphere and kind of what it's like covering in a second, but just we'll kind of go on the court here. They're up 2-0. They're heading to Denver. What have you seen that stood out? We know, Devin Booker's doing his thing. Chris Paul is maybe showing some of the writers that he deserved to be at least in the top five in MVP voting when a lot of them left him off the ballot. What are you seeing on the court from this team that makes them just special and a little different from what we maybe would have expected heading in?
Well, right now they're clicking. So they're playing at an elite level, and every single guy, including off their bench, is just, they're on it. They're locked in. We're seeing, you mentioned Chris Paul is looking like Chris Paul again, and they were able to survive that Lakers series without it. Well, now he's back. And so you have the Suns playing at an elite level to their potential at the right time. And, what we see in this series specifically, with the Suns live and die by their defense. That's how they thrive. Defense leads to offense for them. That's their identity. And when they're able to crash the boards, force turnovers, and push the pace offensively, this Nuggets team can't keep up. Even with Will Barton taking some of the load off of Nikola Jokic, they just can't. And so, Suns in four, and sweep chants that were filling the arena last night, there is a legitimate, but from the team to the fans and beyond, belief that they can sweep the Nuggets. They're a better team.
Yeah, I think that belief has really happened. One player who's making the difference, now you and I have talked about this in class throughout the year, is DeAndre Ayton. I mean, last night everyone's saying he's been the MVP of the playoffs so far for them. I mean, what are you seeing from DeAndre Ayton that's different, or can you speak a little bit on sort of his importance to this team right now?
Well, Ayton is playing consistent, and that's been one of the biggest knocks on his young career, and even throughout the regular season, is that you would see him live up to his potential in certain games, and then he would just have an off game. He wouldn't be physical. And he would give you reason to doubt his capabilities and his consistency. He's been consistent this entire postseason. And I would say, he's one of the biggest reasons that they even made it to this series. He played fantastic against the Lakers and got the Suns to where they're at now. So now with his role, although it's a team effort against Nikola Jokic, He has continued to play consistent physical basketball, and that's what they need him to do. Something that has stood out to me is just the way that he has handled his preparation and has been able to stay locked in. And is, I mean, he's young, and this is his first postseason experience, and he's handled it all very well. But yeah, he's been a backbone of this Suns team. They all have, truthfully, but they wouldn't be here without DeAndre Ayton.
Kirsten Soussel, 12 News, 12 Sports, joining us today on the Brad Sassmatt Show. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. So working in sports and TV and local TV, it's a grind. It is something that takes a special kind of person to get through. But does now being able to cover the Suns in the playoffs, does that sort of re-energize you a little bit and maybe make you want to come to work a little more each day? Like, has that changed how you kind of see things?
I feel like I have to say yes. You know, especially when it's game day. I mean, that there are a few things that are more fun. I mean, there's some things that I can point to and say, this is why I do my job. Well, when you get the opportunity to cover a team like the Suns. So it's the NBA playoffs. That's pretty cool, right? That's fun. How could you show up to, a Suns playoff game and have a bad night? It's really hard to do. But on top of it, just covering a Suns team that's so likable. Monty Williams is great to talk with. I mean, that in and of itself is a joy. And every one of their players. And so it definitely is a grind. Not had many days off since it all started. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, you cannot complain about getting to talk about playoff basketball.
So let's talk about game day then. What's a typical day look like for you over at 12 on game days now for playoffs?
There's rarely a typical day any day in what I do. So for home games, my coworker Cameron Cox and I will usually get in and we'll start building rundowns I'll usually edit a package, if not two packages, on different storylines that are, going on or what was talked about pregame or the day before, to just put some content together. So he and I will start building down and we're in every show 4, 5, and 6 before the game. And so get out, start producing stuff, cut your stories, drive over to the arena. And then he and I are, live in every show. And oftentimes together too, just kind of talking about, whatever game's going on. And then from there it's game time and you watch the game. And then I'm live after the game to break it all down. So it's a long day, but it's fun. And no day is really the same. I mean, every game, it's almost like, okay, so Monty says all the time, like every game has an identity of its own. Like no two games are alike. And I sort of feel like that's the same for when we show up to work to cover a game. There's always a different storyline. There's always something different that we're doing, etc. So, but that's kind of the gist of at least what a home game is like.
And final thing, I mean, just going back to kind of where we started with the home games and the atmosphere here, Kirsten, I mean, what you noticed that, the crowd just keeps getting more and more energized each game throughout the game. And every time you think they've kind of hit a peak, it seems like they're going further. I mean, what really stands out to you? To me, it was last night with the kid just ripping his shirt off and going viral for that, like you mentioned. What's really standing out to you just with how the Suns have kind of rallied the city of Phoenix around them?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who thinks that sports cannot bring a city together, I mean, here you go. Case in point, they really have, and to use their branding, they've rallied the valley, and it's just exciting to see. I thought it was funny. The loudest that the Suns got was in the fourth quarter was in the fourth quarter when the Suns just ran away with the game, and it was like, they were leading by 15, 20, 25 points and fans were like erupting. Like they loved it. It was like, the bigger the blowout, the better. It wasn't like Suns fans are leaving like, oh, it's a blowout, fourth quarter, we're heading out. Like, they just kept getting louder and louder and louder and just loved it. And so, you know, listen, it's an easy team to root for. They're a lovable team. They're an exciting team. Now you've got Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton firing on all cylinders and the bench helping out. And you've got the enforcer and Jay Crowder out there. wouldn't be a playoff game if he didn't get a technical. And it's just everything about it is fun. And, you know, they're doing it in a safe way. Monty mentioned this, I think it was last series, that one of the things that he appreciates most about the fan base is that we've seen fans, you know, act in a way that is unacceptable throughout the NBA playoffs this year. But we haven't gotten any of that from Suns fans. And that is something that this city should be really proud of. Show up every game, you know, get on top of a bar, kid takes his shirt off. You know, it's like, it's craziness, but everybody's doing it in a safe and respectful way. And that's pretty awesome to see as well.
Great stuff as always. Thank you so much, Cheerson, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm out.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Claudia Faust and I'm joined by the general manager of Phoenix Rising, Bobby Dooley. Thanks so much for coming on to chat with me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we're just going to start kind of from the beginning of this season here. The Rising's off to an excellent start this season. They're 4-1-1. After kind of a tough preseason, but they were able to turn it around when it counts. What's been your impression of the team so far?
Yeah, no, it's, of course, we're all about results. We have high standards here as an organization, and we want to win every time we step on the field. And course, it's fantastic. We got the response that we did, and some fans and teams and around the league were kind of questioning what we're be like this year after what they saw in preseason. But I think the coaching staff did a really good job. We brought in some new pieces on our coaching staff, soccer ops side of things. Of course, you got new players getting acclimated, a longer off season, which every team was encountering this year with COVID, a longer off season. But it was really important for the players and our new staff to understand kind of the expectations of the club. And, you know, once you're on Phoenix Rising, it's, you got a pretty big target on your back each and every time you play. And so, you know, it took a little bit of time and we tried a few different things in preseason, getting guys acclimated. And it was good to see the response that our guys, showed at our first match. And I think that gave us some good momentum and some good confidence. And here we are now. Of course, we'd love to have 6 wins. That's what we shoot for after 6 games. But certainly happy with where things are at the moment. And hopefully we can keep it going and ultimately win the elusive trophy that we have yet to secure as an organization.
Well, last week's game was definitely an exciting one against San Diego. We'll get into the game in a second, but it was the first time you opened the stadium to full capacity, 100% capacity, and you brought in 8,058 fans, which set a new club record for attendance. How has it kind of been for you seeing this stadium come to life?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, the support of the ownership group has been nothing short of amazing in the 5 years since I've been here. And you know, what we were able to accomplish in the middle of a pandemic and build a new facility that had better amenities for our fans, for our players, for our front office staff. It was an exciting project to work on through the tail end of last year and the off season in preparation for this season. And, you know, we're still learning some things about the venue. We're still learning different directions to come in and out. We're just kind of learning, kind of grow and improve each and every game. And so for us to finally be able to open up full capacity and on a short notice and with a lot of things going on in the Valley, school just getting out, it was exciting to get 8,000 plus in here. And we're, want to continue to grow that and get more and more people out here and experience Phoenix Rising. And I think that certainly the game didn't start the way we wanted to, but ultimately at the end of the game, it was an exciting finish, and I know there was a lot of momentum and a lot of energy, towards the latter part of that game, and people walked out with a smile on their face, and we want to keep showing them. We want to be an exciting brand of football on the field, and and create a good fan experience. And I think we've made some improvements, and we still have areas where we can, of course, as always, learn and grow. And you know, we're excited about the new location, and the partnership with Gila River Indian Community has been fantastic. And we're excited about all the things that lie ahead for us.
Well, it's my understanding that this new stadium at Wild Horse Pass holds up to 10,000 fans. I will say it does have a similar look and feel to the old stadium, which kind of brings along that tradition. But what are some of the biggest changes that fans and players might notice from the old stadium?
Of course, the big video board on the south side that's prominent, and we're able to do some things. And again, continuing to understand having that element in our game day experience is something that we'll look to add features each and every game. So I think that's first and foremost one of the, you know, the focal points as you walk in, you know, when the sun is down and it's that image really pops on the scoreboard. I also feel that having the full horseshoe, the north side of the field closed in here, and the premium guests that are relocated to the sidelines. One, it gives a better vantage point for our premium guests, but two, it just creates more of a stadium feel for our players when they're on the field and they walk out that tunnel at midfield and have all three sides and essentially all four sides enclosed in because of, you know, some of the things that we have in the corners on the south end. So I think just some of the vantage points and just more of a feel and you know, the second tier now on the west side, which we didn't have before. So it certainly has I think much more of a stadium feel and some elements, and it just feels larger in nature with the large lawn that's, you know, right there on the entry point. And there's, I mean, well into the evening after our performance this past week, and we had fans out there listening to live music and, you know, enjoying, you know, kids running around. It was pretty cool to see, and just kind of kept the party going.
Well, it's no secret that the Rising has a very loyal fan base. I believe you've been the general manager for 5 years, so you've probably seen it even grow. But for fans who have never been out to a game, or maybe just went to a game at the old stadium, or it's been a while, what do you want them to know they can expect from the fan experience standpoint?
Yeah, I think what they can expect is a product on the field that's very entertaining. Rick and our head coach, Rick and the staff, we like to play a pretty up-tempo, high speed, high energy, create a lot of opportunities, a bit risky style of soccer. And that translates into a lot of excitement, whether that's defending or some saves from our goalkeepers, or it's a lot of shots on goal like we saw in one of our previous matches this year. So for us, it's an exciting product. It's 90 minutes. You know, we're working to bring in more food vendors and really an event for everyone. And the energy, I mean, the energy in this stadium is fantastic that our fans create. And, you know, we got fantastic supporters groups and fans on all four sides now that are singing or chanting or are playing on the drums, there's smoke going. It just creates a unique fan experience from any other sporting event. Just the passion people have for the sport of soccer and soccer fans in general is exceptional.
Well, I can say for a fact that you gained some new fans this past weekend. A lot of friends of mine were actually at the game, and it was the first game they ever went to, and they told me they're looking at buying season tickets. So I think that says a lot right there.
I love it.
A lot of that has to do with the final 20 minutes of that game was absolutely riveting against the San Diego Loyal. Actually, just the last 8 minutes of stoppage time produced not one, but two goals to tie the game. What do you think this says about the Rising's ability to compete until the final seconds of the game?
Yeah, I think it says a lot about character and, you know, the type of players that we look to recruit, the type of, you know, the coaches that we have, the belief that they instill in the players. And, you know, the past couple of weeks that we saw our team go on the road and then win in an environment that we haven't won before. And then this past week, you know, we had a few players out that are regular starters, and we have the utmost confidence in every player on our roster, and some guys stepped up and you know, and didn't quit. It would have been easy to give up and pack it in and let's look forward and move on to the next one. But but our guys believed in up until the final whistle blew that we were going to win that game. And I think that showed, and, you know, some guys came off the bench and really made a difference as well in the game. And that's just, it helps bring the team together. Everyone believes, everyone's got an opportunity to compete day in and day out. And, you know, I think scoring a couple of goals at the end, and Joey Calistri, who scored that second goal, has certainly scored some clutch goals for us over the past couple of seasons. So, of course, we always want to win, but to show that last 8 minutes, to show the desire, the fight, the willingness to work for each other and do whatever it takes, proud of the boys, proud of the coaches for that performance on Saturday night.
Well, there are two players I kind of want to talk about real quick. One is Santi Moore, who's kind of going after that most consecutive goals record that's currently held by team captain Solomon Asante. I talked to Rick Shantz yesterday, and he told me he almost pulled Santi out of the game. I mean, are you telling him now you got to keep him in until this weekend, or what's going on there?
Well, one thing I don't do is I try not to interfere with what's happening on the field. Again, we as an organization have a lot of trust in our staff, have a ton of trust in our players, and we put people in the right position, you know, on and off the field, and trust them to do their jobs. And Rick has done a fantastic job. So I would never question or tell him what to do on the field with the players. And you know, he's pulled a lot of the right strings the last couple of years, and I think, you know, getting to the finals and getting the results that we're getting. And we one thing that we try to do in the offseason every year, Rick and I, is to make sure that we're too deep and we're competitive in every position. And that allows us to, you know, put forces some really tough decisions to even get in the 18 on a game day roster for Rick. But you know, that competition day in and day out, we feel that it really translates into results on the field on game day. So it's very competitive. There's guys like Prince and Ivan, you know, and Shea that are pushing our front three every day, and really, really quality guys that would be starting in a lot of places. So I think when Rick says that, he just knows what he has, the kind of firepower on the bench. And so, again, whether it's whatever guys on the field, we're confident. And right now, obviously, Santi's on a bit of a hot streak, and Santi's had that quality, and he's shown that. And I think, you know, the latter part of last season going into the playoffs, Santi was the most dangerous player on the field. And you know, it was unfortunate that we weren't able to finish it, because I think, you know, I was expecting to perform in the final. But Santi's on fire. He deserves it. He works really hard. He puts in a lot of time and effort, and you know, the goals are falling right now, and hopefully they keep falling. I think no one would be happier for Santi for scoring that many goals than Solo Asante. He's truly a team player. He's a leader for our club. He's done so much for our organization. And if Santi's scoring goals, that probably means that the rest of the team is doing well and we're getting results. So as long as the goals keep coming, no matter where they come from, hopefully it means 3 points and it leads us to a trophy at the end of the year.
You also mentioned players coming off of the bench, which leads me to another one I want to chat about, Arturo Rodriguez. He's a newer addition to the team, and he was subbed in the final 18 minutes of the game and had a hand in not one, but two goals in the last game. And he ended up making the USL team of the week as well. How fun was he to watch in those 18 minutes?
He did exactly what the coaches needed him to do, what the team needed him to do, and brought some tremendous, I mean, Shea did the same thing, brought the energy we need. Joy Farrell, what he brought at the end of the game as well. Just the energy that these guys brought off the bench. Arturo's a young kid. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. He's proven it before. He's come up in a really good system. He's a smart kid. He works tremendously hard every day at our new gym that I was referencing earlier. You see, you know, I walk out there and I'm walking to lunch or something, and I see him still an hour or so after training, getting a lift in and working on his core and strength. He's watching, he's learning, he's studying, he's putting in the time, you know, seeing what these other players are doing, and he's got such a bright future for us. And we have big plans for Arturo, and to see him come out there and you know, had the right approach, the right mentality, just so proud of the kid that he was able to come on there and help us, you know, be a big part in getting a point, salvaging a point, and obviously leading to two goals based off of, you know, some of the things he was doing on the field. So again, it's that pressure that our guys on the bench, it's the pressure the guys that don't make in the 18, it's the pressure that Rick and I look for in the offseason when we're building the roster, is to make sure that everyone's being pushed day in and day out, and that just helps everyone else elevate a level or two. And Arturo and the guys that came off the bench this past week, and the guys that started that don't typically start, all had a great performance, and it just makes practice this week much more challenging for everyone else, and no one knows where they're at, and it's a competition. So
Rick said actually the exact same thing about Arturo's work ethic, that he's always in the gym, he's trying to put on a little bit of weight. But another thing he said was that he is trying to make him the best player, not just on the Rising, but in the whole league. Do you see Phoenix as this place where players will come and really develop? And has it been that way historically?
Yes. Arturo has the ability. He has the work ethic. We're seeing that. We feel that we have a pretty good environment for Arturo to continue to grow and develop. And it's something that we pride ourselves on, is how we take care of the players and where they live, how we feed them, how we travel, the medical staff that we surround them with on a daily basis, the amenities that we provide them. We give it all to the players. It's something Rick talks about all the time, all the staff, you know, let's give everything to the players. And we see, and over the past couple of years, the amount of games that we've won, the difficult situations that we've overcome as a club, it's because of the players, you know, the character that they represent. We look for that when we're recruiting players. So I think players realize that if they come here, this is an extremely professional environment. This is an opportunity, you know, whether it's preseason when we're competing against, you know, MLS teams, or it's regular season where the bullseye's on us every game, wherever we're at, home or away, guys want to come here. They want to be a part of this program. So they want to show their best, and our guys that are accepting of that. And it creates an environment where they have to develop, they have to push themselves, because there's a guy that wants their job. There's guys that want to be wearing Phoenix Rising jerseys. There's guys that want to be in the starting 11 that are not in the starting 11 on a weekly basis. So it's an environment where we're challenging every day. You know, Rick and myself, he challenges me all the time, you know, looking for different ways that we can do more. And I love it about him. And I love it about the players that are challenging the coaches. It's just an organization where we had so much support from ownership from day one, that for us to create an environment where players can develop, staff can develop. We've had staff members that have developed and moved on to other opportunities, which we're excited about. So we know who we are. We want to be the best. We want to set the gold standard, and we want to continue to get the most out of every individual that's a part of this organization. And it's been an exciting 5 years, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Well, sticking with the theme of the future, it's kind of a loaded question, but I feel like it's a great place to end. What do you feel like is the vision for Phoenix Rising in the future?
The vision since day one, since the new ownership came on board 5 years ago, was to take this, you know, to the highest level. And some things are out of our control. We're the growth of soccer in general, you know, growth of soccer in the USL has been fantastic. And you're seeing brand new stadiums pop up. You're seeing new ownership groups. You're seeing more investment. You're seeing more of the product on television at every moment, every day. So to play a part in the growth of soccer and to bring it to the highest level and bring in the type of players and build the type of facilities that we have done, and get the support from the community, from the corporate partners, from the media, it's been fantastic. So we want to continue to elevate and take this as high as we possibly can, and put out a product and a brand and an organization that the community, that the state is excited to stand behind. And we feel that we haven't even scratched the surface yet at all levels, and continue to grow the game at the youth levels, at the professional levels. And we're just excited about, you know, we took a big step this year in the off season with a new partnership with Gila River, and we're very excited about where we're currently at, and we're going to keep working really hard to continue to take this to unprecedented heights.
Well, thanks so much for coming on to chat with me this morning, and best of luck this Saturday against Tacoma.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.